On your mark, get ready, start.
Broadcasting from California and Delaware, this is the Hard Rocking Trivia Show. And here are your hosts, Mark and Danny.
All right, boys and girls, time for another episode of Hard Rocking Trivia Show. I think we got a pretty good show this time. At least I do.
Okay.
But let's start off with, Mark, you went to a show recently in L.A., L.A. Guns, huh?
Yeah, I saw L.A. Guns at the Santa Clarita Canyon Club on August 13th, on a Saturday.
All right.
Got there about 7:45. This place is actually in a mall, if you can believe it or not. So at the mall in Santa Clarita. So I park my car, walk out, and who walks right in front of me?
I don't know.
Well, there was a 65-year-old man wearing a black wife beater mesh T-shirt. So he's completely see-through. So.
Stephen Piercy.
No, it was Phil Lewis from LA Guns.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he does not, you know, he kind of looks like a pirate nowadays. He's got that little curly Q snidely whiplash mustache going on. Kind of the fake hair thing going on, but does not have the body to wear that kind of T-shirt. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Kind of you ever seen those skinny fat guys?
Yeah.
They're skinny, but they get the fat. And that's Phil Lewis.
Okay.
He's like, hello, right. Hello, everybody. You know, nice to see you. You know, because he's a British bloke, you know. So it's like, okay, that's pretty cool. Because it's weird where they people change. It's like in another section of the mall. So they got the club here on the left side as you walk in. And you got to go to the right to another side of the mall to go change. So I saw the same thing with Bullet Boys when Mark Torian was walking by. I'm like, okay, all right, that's different.
There he is.
Yep, so I went to the show. LA Guns was supposed to hit the stage at 8 o'clock, and they did not.
No?
They put an opening band. It was, I forgot the name of the darn, I wish I would have wrote it down, but it was like the Whiskey and Gun Show or Club or something like that from Ventura. They were actually quite good, so I'm kind of bummed out. I forgot the name of the damn band, but they were excellent. Kind of like a 70s Southern rock type of band, but really talented. But
nice.
So a place was actually packed. I was kind of surprised. I would say, I don't know, I'm gonna guess this place holds about 800 maybe. It was pretty full.
It's pretty big then.
Yeah, it's a giant room. All the Canyon clubs around here are all the same, kind of a chain actually. I think there's
okay,
there's like three. There's one in Montclair, there's one in Agora, and the one in Santa Clarita. So it was cool. So the band comes out. Let me tell you who's in the band first. It's Phil Lewis, of course. He's the original lead singer. Tracy Guns. A bass player was Johnny Martin. Rhythm guitar was Ace Von Johnson, who used to be in Faster Pussycat, but is now in LA Guns. And the drummer was a guy named Sean Duncan, who used to be in a band a long time ago. You ever see The Decline of Western Civilization Part 2?
Yeah.
He used to be in Odin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Odin. An absolute horrible band. Oh, yeah. Terrible. But Sean Duncan, he was terrific. Fantastic drummer.
Yeah, all right.
They played a couple of new songs, Cannonball, which was they opened with. They played Speed. But the majority of the set was from the first three albums. So
okay, you'd figure.
Heavy on the first two, one or two from the third.
Yeah.
But band was excellent. Really good. I mean, tight as hell. No fake vocals here.
No?
They all sang. The rhythm guitarist and the bass player doing most of the backing vocals. And they were right in front of me, and they were really singing. So didn't sound like the albums, but band played really well. Awesome.
Like, I don't want a bunch of backing vocals and tracks.
No.
I don't want them to sound like the album. I have the album.
Yeah. It's like you go see a Motley Crue. I don't know if they're doing it on the stadium tour. It seems like they're kind of doing a little bit.
Yeah.
But I saw Pretty Boy Floyd. They definitely did it. It was like, it was ridiculous. It was too obvious. Yeah, give me a real human singing, so.
Yeah.
I don't care if you put an extra guy on keyboards back there. Like, Cheap Trick does that. Poison does that. They got keyboard player out there singing also background, so.
Yeah, and you definitely know Whitesnake's doing it.
Oh, yeah, they got 47 people on stage all singing, so, yeah. Yeah, weird thing with that Whitesnake thing is the guy who was playing keyboards is a guy named Gino Jezelik. He's also a lead singer. So when
wasn't he in like Hardline or something?
No, but he's in a couple bands.
Gino Jezelik, that name sounds familiar.
Oh yeah, you can see he's all over the internet. The guy's from like Croatia, but he's an amazing singer. In fact, when Whitesnake had to cancel their tour in Europe, he was in Whitesnake because he doubles Coverdale all the time singing. But when the Dead Daisies were also on tour in Europe, and Glenn Hughes, I guess he got COVID and had to go home. So when, at the same time, Coverdale had to cancel. So Dino went over and fronted the Dead Daisies to finish their tour off in Europe.
Jeez.
So that's how talented that guy is. He's pretty amazing. Oh,
yeah, that's some major talent.
And we were really happy to see that Tracy Guns did not play in the toilet this time.
Oh, good. He was on stage?
Yes, he was on stage, and he's playing quite well. He was pretty happy. They do something that's pretty cool. Their opening song before the band comes out is Ozzy's Diary of a Madman. And okay. Tracy's pretty much on the stage playing the Randy parts during the song.
Oh,
the
really?
Song is playing, he's playing the Randy parts, finishes, then the whole band jumps on stage and plays.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so people are getting excited, you know. Actually, that song's not one of my favorite songs from the Ozzy solo era, but it was pretty cool that he was doing that. The people who were there were into it. I mean, most of the people there, age-wise, I'd say about 50-plus. There were some kids there sprinkled out and some youngsters, but most of the people there were pretty old.
Yeah.
Including yours truly.
Yeah, so.
Who just turned 58. Excuse me.
They didn't play past 11, did they?
No, they played to 10:45.
Okay.
That was the surprise, because usually at the Canyon Club, the opening band plays at 7, the headliner plays at 8. These guys got on about 9:15, so.
Okay.
That was a surprise. So I was a little there later than I expected, you know, way past my bedtime, as you know. But, overall, good show. So if you got a chance to check out LA Guns, they are still good. They're real good, actually. So.
Nice. And they're touring with Poison, right?
Yeah, they did a run with Tom Kiefer, them, and Faster Pussycat, and I think they just played with Poison and Tom Kiefer in Tulsa. So
yeah,
but I think they're pretty much done now. But they'll play sporadic shows throughout the year. But yeah, definitely worth seeing. Still good. Yeah, Phil Lewis has still got it, so that's nice. So that's a nice happy note here from the Hard Rock and Trivia Show. Another happy note is we passed 50,000 listens.
50,000, good Lord.
Can you believe that? Jeez, that's 50,000 listens, listen to a couple guys talk trivia on Skype. Unbelievable.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
50,000, that's a lot.
Yeah, that is.
Too bad it's not 50,000 unique listeners.
Yeah, per week. No, it's not that. No, that's over a period of years. But we're just happy.
That's all right. What show number is this? Like 210, 212?
This is 213.
213, all right.
We did some sporadic shows. We've probably done about 217, 218. So that's pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean.
A lot more than I thought we would do when we started out.
Yeah, we figured we'd get 10 listeners a show, and we'd be happy with that, I guess. This is not a second job for us or a first job. This is just something we do for fun. We picked up one more listener on our playlist. So we're up to 11 now.
All right.
Our Spotify playlist is at 11 listeners. Yes.
Nice.
And if you want to join that little free playlist, it's HRTS playlist on Spotify. So it's free.
It's a cool list. I like listening to it.
I listened to it in the shower this morning, so.
All right.
So, hey. And it's free, so. Hey.
Music to clean your package to.
Absolutely.
There you go.
I didn't even want to think about that. What was I listening to in the show?
I listened to Soldier of the Line for the first time.
Oh, God, from by Magnum.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I put that on the list, I said, I haven't heard this in about 15 years. Like, still good.
Oh, yeah. Great song.
But too bad their whole catalog is not like that.
Yeah.
they're definitely more AOR slash proggy. I
mean, yeah.
That song was kind of an anomaly for them. Oh, but anyway, I think we're ready. I know I'm ready. Let's do some rapid fire.
All right.
All right, boys and girls out there in podcast land, time for rapid fire. This is a bit where Danny and I fire three rock trivia questions at each other, trying to win the great grand prize, which is absolutely nothing, but it's bragging rights for a couple of weeks. And you guys at home or in your car or wherever you're at, play along, see if you guys can go 6 for 6. It's usually pretty difficult. Usually we're lucky if we go 1 for 3. So,
yeah, really, it's... Lately, I think we've outdone ourselves with the difficulty.
Yeah, which means you've been kicking my can for a while now. And you might do it again, because I don't think my questions are... Well, one of them I think is pretty difficult, but the other two I don't think are that difficult. So you just never know.
You never know.
So here we go, everybody. Question number one. What do these musicians all have in common? Jeff Pilson, Craig Goldie, Rudy Sarzo, and Simon Wright. They all have something in common.
Jeez.
Pilson played at Dokken. Craig Goldie played with Jafria and Dio. Rudy Sarzo has played with everybody. Simon Wright was in AC/DC. All four of these guys have something in common professionally.
Did they all record with Ozzy?
Ooh, that's so close, but incorrect.
Dang it.
The answer, they are all at one time members of Dio.
Damn it. That is close.
Yeah. You were very close.
Yeah.
I'd almost want to give you half a point, but I'm not. That's a full miss.
A full zero.
And I put an X through the piece of paper right there.
There you go. All right, here you go. Question one for you. What does the Black Sabbath song NIB stand for?
You'd think I'd know this one.
Yep.
And
NIB.
And I like this song a lot. And I used to play it for my kids when they were really small. We played
it. What, it's like a nursery rhyme? Or?
Yeah, yeah. And I play in the car. And I'd start. And we go, oh, yeah. And the kids would do it too when they were three or four.
Oh, it's the song. The song's about the devil falling in love and trying to change his ways, but he doesn't.
Well, maybe that explains the behavior of my 15-year-old now kids, you know?
But probably so. Probably so.
NIB. No Incubus Brother. I don't know.
Man, you are so close.
No, I wasn't.
No, you weren't. No, it stands for Nativity in Black.
Oh, God.
However, when Geezer Butler wrote it, he didn't have a name in mind for it, so he just gave it the name that they called Bill Ward's beard. They called it Nib.
Oh, God.
So he made it look more ominous by putting the periods in between and capitalizing it. So
I'm going to make it more metal.
Yeah, more metal.
I should have got that because there was a covers album by that name.
Yeah, Nativity in Black is all Black Sabbath covers.
Duh.
Yep.
I'm a moron.
But anyway, so you get 0 points, but I thought that was an interesting story that he didn't have a name, and it really doesn't mean it wasn't Nativity in Black originally.
It just kind of
resolved itself into that. People started calling it that, and it's interesting.
Yeah, happens quite a bit. Jeez.
Yeah.
All right, question number two for you. How many solo albums does Akira Takasaki has he released in Japan? How many solo albums?
Jeez. Akira Takasaki.
Great guitar player and loudness.
Oh, yeah. I'm aware. Man, that guy is so freaking good.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 12.
Ooh, you're close. 10.
Oh, man.
Which is kind of weird because I only knew of one.
Yeah.
The first one was like Tusk of the Jaguar in 1982. That's the only one I knew of. I didn't know he had all these other ones all the way up to 2007. He had one called Black Brown. All the other ones, never heard before, never seen, because they're only released in Japan. But I'm sure, I'm sure if we dug around, we could find them. But
no, I'm sure. Yeah, too bad we're not back in high school. We'll go over to that place in Fairfax and get all these Japanese imports.
Yep.
Oh, well. All right, so I'm 0 for 2. Great.
Yeah, we're doing great so far, aren't we?
See how you do here. For number 2, what James Bond theme song is the only one to reach number 1 on the Hot US 100?
Ooh. I hope it's a rocking James Bond cover.
Well, it's not Adele, I'll give you that.
I didn't even know Adele sang.
See, I think she had a recent one, but I don't know for sure.
You know, since this is the Hard Rockin' Trivia Show, I was thinking of Wings. Oh, but if it's something else, like Nobody Does It Better.
Nope.
I'm going to go with Live and Let Die by Wings.
No, I thought that. That's why I looked up this question. But no, it was not. It's Duran Duran of You to a Kill.
Oh, God. You know what?
I actually like that song.
I like Duran Duran. I don't like that song.
Okay.
But, you know, I they did it. That's true.
Yep. Yeah, that's the only one. Now, there was a later one that went to number one in the UK. I think it was Billie Eilish's song a couple years ago.
Couldn't tell you. I couldn't name one song by Billie Eilish.
I can't either. But
I don't know.
Anyway, so you're 0 for 2 now.
Yeah, so far we're going in this strong. And my last question for you is probably the easiest one.
Okay, well, thanks.
You're welcome.
No pressure.
You're welcome. Here we go. Which member of the Eagles' Hotel California lineup has released the most solo studio albums? And you should probably know which guys they are, unless you don't.
I know who's in the Eagles. I'm going to say it's Joe Walsh.
Correct. Joe Walsh released 12 solo albums.
Nice. I can't think of the other guys releasing many at all. I mean,
Don Henley has 5. Glenn Frey has 5. Don Felder has 3. And Randy Meisner has 5.
Wow.
Yeah,
all right.
That was definitely the easiest question of the bunch.
Yep.
So you are 1 for 3. So I need to get this to tie you. And if I don't.
Yeah, you either tie or lose. You cannot win.
I don't think I've won one rapid fire this summer. So this is my last chance, pretty much.
Last chance to at least pull even. So here you go.
Okay.
How many platinum albums does Megadeth have?
Megadeth platinum.
I'll give you a hint. Since the whole download thing has been happening the last few years, they haven't gotten any platinum albums because they haven't been counting. At least the RIAA has not been including downloads.
Yeah, I think with the RIAA, I think you have to petition them and pretty much pay them to look it up and see if you get certified now. So a lot of people just aren't bothering. It's like,
yeah, why bother?
I'm going to say 2.
Oh, 6.
Shiza.
Yep. The first one did not go platinum, but the next 6 all went platinum. And then it just kind of stopped.
Yeah.
No platinum, no gold, no nothing. Probably because they've all been downloaded.
Yeah. If you're not like Metallica or U2.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough for a rock band or the Foo Fighters to go platinum. So.
Yeah.
And they have a new album coming out, Megadeth.
Yep. Yep, not this coming Friday, but the next Friday, September 2nd.
Hopefully,
it's a great day.
Hopefully it's good.
I hope so. I'm a big Megadeth fan. I like them. I like them more than Metallica.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Metallica has their strong points, but there's so many good Megadeth songs that I like that, you know, I saw the Big Four tour at Yankee Stadium, and I thought Megadeth was the best one there.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, Anthrax is always fun to watch. Slayer, I'm not into. I mean, they were cool, but a little too hard. I don't know. I can't really say too hard for me, but you know, they're Slayer.
Slayer.
Yeah. And then Megadeth, and then Metallica comes on, and I still like Megadeth the best.
Wow, surprising.
They were great.
Holy
they were
smokes. Great. Wow, so that means you win this week, sir.
I won. So you know my address. You can send the check here.
I can. Well, I'll see if I have a stamp. It may take me a while. So I don't okay. know. Wow.
I'll wait.
I'm over the summer. Holy
wow.
Together, we are 1-6.
All right. Well, if anybody's listening, let us know if you did any better. I am sure people did.
Yeah. I failed my family, my everything. I'm in a funk now. I don't know how I'm going to recover from this.
Wait, is that your kids in the background laughing at you?
Yeah, and pointing, too. Jeez. Yeah.
All right.
I'm bummed. So, you know what? Just you know what's going to make me feel better? Listening to this commercial.
Okay, good luck with that. All right, everybody, welcome back. Now we're going to start off with or do a bit we call Who the Hell, where we play an obscure band or an obscure song by a well-known band. Mark, why don't you go first? And mine's an interesting one. I think we'll...
Okay.
We'll see what happens when we get into it.
All right.
Here we go. So go ahead. We have... What we do is we play 4 10-second clips of a song, and we'll give you some hints in between, see if we can get it.
All right, here we go. Hopefully this is not too difficult, but you never know. Here we go.
You never know. It could be a famous band or a song you've never heard.
All right, here we go. Sounds really cool. But offhand, I don't know who that is. I'm going to say, is that Montrose?
No, it is not. Not too far off. I don't know. We'll see.
All right, what's my first hint?
This is from a Japan-only release in 1977.
Ooh, 1977, Japan-only.
Yep. So I doubt you've heard this album.
Okay.
But you might have. I don't know.
All right. Let's go on to track number 2. Walking around town with nothing to do. Rock and roll ringing my ears. Watch just my mind. Okay. You're going to laugh at this.
All right.
Because I played this same band today trying to find a Who the Hell is this. And I said, no, I'm not going to play them because Danny's going to get it off the vocalist. That's Quiet Riot.
Ah, damn it. I thought he sounded different enough that you wouldn't get it.
And that's probably off of Quiet Riot 1, correct? I don't know the name of the song. But I listened to Quiet Riot 2. I listened to 3 songs, and I went, it still sounds like DeBro. He's going to get it.
Yeah, it's...
We shit. It's
off Quiet Riot 1. It's the first song. And it's only Kevin DeBro and Randy Rhodes. Those are the only two that went on to... Well,
yeah, from the first.
Or Randy went off to play with Ozzy. But, yeah, the other two guys, they weren't in the band.
Wasn't that too funny that I was listening to that trying to pick a song from one of those two albums?
That is unbelievable.
And you know what triggered it for me? I guess on Amazon Prime, a Randy Rhoads documentary just popped up.
Oh, okay.
And it's mostly about the old Quiet Riot days.
Really?
So they talk to the old first drummer. And it's all, and they go through Ozzy for a little bit, but most of it's Quiet Riot, and his him and Eddie Van Halen's little thing against each other, because they were the top dogs in L.A. and so.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They were cordial, but they really didn't get along, because it's competition back then. So yeah.
But do you really have to get along with somebody in a different band? I mean, it's not like Van Halen and Ozzy were touring together.
No, but. It's just one of those things where there's everybody, like they were the guys. It was a great documentary. I suggest everybody watch it. I don't know the name of it, but if you type in Randy Rhoads on Amazon Prime, you'll get it for free. So,
all right.
It's pretty cool. There's a lot.
I'll check it out for sure.
There's a lot of music in it and a lot of cool photos, and they talked to a lot of people who were there. So worth seeing.
Nice.
So I got it in 2 tracks.
Damn.
Quiet
Riot. All right. Well, good for you.
Yeah, those first two albums just got remastered and put out, so you can find them. They're not the greatest songs, but they're okay. It's kind of cool to have.
It's interesting to hear on Quiet Riot 2, they have Slick Black Cadillac, which I love that song, and then they put that out later on a subsequent album.
Yeah, that and the second album, that's when Rudy joined.
Yeah.
So, it's cool.
Yeah.
It's worth having, but it's like something, they were kind of, Quiet Riot was a little different. I mean, and it's not Randy playing like the Ozzy type songs. They're more poppy songs.
Yeah.
They're okay. It's cool having, but,
You don't listen to him and go, oh, man, that Randy Rhoads is so awesome.
No, because he's a songwriter. He's the main songwriter in all those tunes. So
yeah.
It's all right. Okay.
All right, here we go. I'll
for you, okay. I almost picked, at first I was going to go for all girl groups. There's a band called The Warning. You've heard of them?
The Warning? No.
The Warning. It's a new band called The Warning. Well, they're not really that new, but they're kind of an anomaly. They're from Mexico, okay, which is the first anomaly, and they sing in English, which is strange. The other anomaly about The Warning, who has been opening for Hailstorm on this last U.S. tour, they're three sisters.
Oh, really?
Ages 22, 20, and 18.
Jeez.
But they've been around since they were like 10 and 11.
Jeez.
They did a cover of a Metallica song on some TV show. And literally, when they were playing, the bass player, who now is 18, she was playing bass at probably age 11, and the bass is bigger than she is. But they did Often Never, Neverland. But they did it.
Man. They did Sandman?
Yeah, but they did it slower and a different.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a three-piece band, guitars, drums, and bass. They're pretty good, too. I think I sent one of the albums your way.
You listen? Yeah, that sounded familiar.
The Warning. So I almost picked them, and I went, nah, Danny's probably going to – he's probably listened to that album. So then I was probably not. Yeah. Then I looked into Band Maid. You remember Band Maid?
Yeah.
The Japanese all-girl band that plays in the maid's outfits.
Yeah.
Who are super talented, and they're really good. In fact, they're touring. They're going to be playing in Philadelphia in October.
Really?
And the bass player in this band is amazing.
So I almost picked who are they touring with?
They're headlining. They're headlining small clubs all across the U.S. Band Maid.
Band Maid. All right.
Who I thought they're playing some small club in L.A. too. So I think, hey, maybe if I'm not doing anything that day, maybe I'll go check them out.
So that's different than Baby Metal, huh?
Yeah, Baby Metal is just the three girls in front. With a killer backing band. Band Maid actually plays.
Okay.
And the intricate riffs and the drumming and the bass playing is like top notch.
All right.
I mean, you can go on YouTube and look at it. Band Maid. They sing in mostly Japanese too, but the playing is ridiculous. Amazing.
All right.
Okay. But I didn't pick them either because I couldn't find the song that I wanted. Because I had like one of their albums, song I wanted to use, but I couldn't find it. So I found another one.
Good, because I wouldn't have gotten either of those two.
Yeah, maybe it's too hard. So this band is a band that had a couple of videos on MTV in the late 80s.
All right.
And that's the only hint I'm going to give you, so you can go ahead and play along.
All right, let's hear track number one.
Okay. Any clue could have been any band during that time period.
Yeah, really. Is it the Rods?
It is not the Rods. Not a bad guess, though. All right, this band was a five-piece out of St. Petersburg, Florida. That's my second hint.
Five-piece of St. Petersburg. Okay.
Okay.
St. Petersburg. Okay. Oh, man. The vocals sound familiar. Shoot. Is it Jackal?
Incorrect. Not Jackal. Jackal came a little later. All right, your next hint is this band only released one major label album in 1988, and the name of the album is Things You've Never Done Before.
Well, that doesn't help.
From 1988 on Virgin Records. Five pieces right, from Florida.
Let's see. I don't do no homework because I can't stand books. Got no time for a little schoolgirl stuck up looks. Whoa, man. Is it Dangerous Toys?
It is not Dangerous Toys. You're still in the South, but Dangerous Toys is from Texas. All right, your final clue, which is probably not going to help you a bit. I didn't like this band back in the day. They released that one album, and in 1991, they broke up. So they released the one album. It sold a quarter of a million albums, but after that, the band just broke up in 91, and then 92, they reformed with only two original members. And
did we ever see them?
No. I was never a fan of them either.
Okay. Well, it's not Molly Hatchet.
No, that's too early.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't really. Right. They're from Florida, but they don't really have a Southern band sound.
All right, let's listen to this last one.
Too cool for school. School's for fools. It's kind of corny, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't have any idea.
No guess?
Shoot, I thought I had it with Dangerous Toys. I have no idea.
All right, the name of the band, Rox Gang. R-O-X-X Gang. Rox Gang.
I wouldn't have gotten that.
Yeah, I thought they were terrible back in the day. And I listened to some of the songs of the album, and I still agree. They're still terrible. But I'm sure there's some people like them. I don't know who. They sold a quarter million albums, so.
Rox Gang. Did you just send me that?
Probably a couple months back. Rox Gang, right. To me, is like Vain. Some people like the Vain, but I can't stand Vain either. Something about the lead vocals and the. There's some pretty corny lyrics in there. Too cool for school. Come on.
Yeah.
School's for fools.
Yeah. Whatever, dude.
It's like Twisted Sisters. Be cruel to your school. Yeah.
Yeah.
School Days from Wasp. You know. Yeah. Alice Cooper did it right. You know. School's right. Out.
School's out.
That was the best. Nobody ever topped that one.
Well, yeah. How can you beat blowing up your school?
Yeah. Oh, such a killer song. So.
Speaking of Alice Cooper.
Not yet, but we're going to get to that. You won in rapid fire. Can you consider me as the winner of Who the Hell Is This Week?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
you got it.
1-1. So we're going to tie for this week because the next bit we're going to do, speaking of Alice Cooper, what Danny says is we're going to do a bit we call Last Chance. And this particular bit is we take an album that we really didn't like too much in the past. And this is
like when it first came out, we thought, ugh.
Ugh. Or you bought it and it's like, oh, this is terrible. You traded it away for something. I remember somebody traded me, I got two albums. I got the Cars first album and I got the Sex Pistols first album because the people who had it, my friends, hated it. So I traded it for something else. I thought it was a pretty good trade. So,
oh yeah,
I don't even remember what I traded it for, but it was a good deal for me. But anyway, this particular album is one this week I chose. It's called Lace and Whiskey by Alice Cooper. It's his third solo album, released in 1977. And when I first got into Alice Cooper, I got the Alice Cooper Show live album. Loved it. Thought it was the greatest. Then I went back to start listening to some of his other stuff, and I got Lace and Whiskey. Hated it. Listened to it like twice, and I probably threw it away or traded it away because I don't have a copy of that anymore. I just could not stand it. So
you probably listened to it more this week than you have ever before.
Yeah, because I listened to it 4 or 5 times this week just to prepare for the show to see if I like it better now than I did back then. And Danny, have you ever heard this album before?
I have not. And it took, We'll get into it.
Yeah, so surprisingly, though, we'll get into the details of this album just a little bit. When we do this last chance bit here, we're going to give each song a value like we do in school. Give it an A+ or a D-, and we'll total it up, and we'll see what the average is and see what the album comes out to. We've done
An A is a 4.0, a B is a 3, C is a 2.
Yeah, we also do the pluses, too.
Yeah.
If it's an A+, it's a 4.3.
And yeah.
If it's a D-, what is it?
0.7.
Yep.
Yeah.
0.7. He's quick. It's that math, I'm telling you. I had to think about it for a second. But yeah so let's go on to other reviews of this particular album. I went to AllMusic. The reviewer on AllMusic gave it 2 out of 5 stars, which isn't that good. The users gave it 4 out of 5 stars. So they really liked it. Robert Kreisgau gave it a C+. He's a famous reviewer from way back in the day. On RateYourMusic.com, which is a cool site where fans can go in and rate anything they own, they gave it 2.94 out of 5. So not a really high glowing review there either. But in fact, it was the third lowest Alice Cooper album in his catalog. So pretty low. And here's a weird one. Amazon users, they gave it 4.6 out of 5.
Well, those are people that love it that are going to go on there and have a reason. People that hate it, they're not going to bother.
Yeah, so I would probably, I usually like to go to Rate Your Music to see what the overall group of hardcore fans thinks of it. Like I said, I hated this back in the day. But for the bit, we're going to go through it, and Danny's a first-time listener, so who knows? The last time we did this, we were really close in score. Yeah. So this one could be all over the place. I have no idea what Danny thinks about this.
Yeah, that last one we did was that Motley Crue EP.
Yeah, and we were really close.
Quaternary, yeah.
And we also did one for Warrant's Belly to Belly.
Yeah.
We both hated it.
Yeah, so it was brutal just listening to it for the bit.
Oof, yeah.
And we've also done a Scorpions Eye to Eye.
Yeah, but that one never aired because yours truly screwed up somewhere. So, yeah, we did Eye to Eye Scorpions. So maybe we'll do that in the future. Which we actually liked that better than we thought we would. So
yeah, I think you liked it more than I did.
Yeah, but it was higher. We scored it higher than we thought we would.
Yeah.
So for this one, all right. The people who played on it, Alice Cooper is obviously the lead vocalist. The guitar players are Dick Wagner and Steve Hunter, who played on a lot of albums for Alice, and Bob Ezrin was the producer. He's their go-to guy. In fact, those two guitar players, those are the two guys who play on Aerosmith's Get Your Wings.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Bob Babbitt's a bass.
Are those the two guys that played on
Train Kept Rolling?
What people think is that live version?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Hunter.
They think it's live version, but it's really not live.
No. Piped in. A guy named Bob Babbitt is the bass player. Never heard of him. And Alan Schwartzberg on drums. You ever heard of him?
Nope.
He's one of those guys who's he's a session drummer, but he's played on a lot of songs that you know. He is the drummer on Gloria Gaynor's Never Say Goodbye. You know that song?
Oh, yeah.
Tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. He's the drummer for that. He's also the drummer, Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin, Peter Gabriel's Salisbury Hill, The Spinners' Working My Way Back to You, Babe.
Jeez.
The Star Wars theme from Miko. Din, 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 din.
Wow, okay.
Alan Schwartz. Well, this guy's played with John Lennon, Diana Ross, James Brown, Jimi Hendrix, Alice Cooper, Kiss, Frank Sinatra, Roxy Music, Rod Stewart, Robert Palmer, Grace Slick, Barry Manilow, and Barbara Streisand.
Wow, and Alice Cooper.
Yeah, and he played on Peter Criss's solo album and Gene Simmons' solo album. So this guy is one of those guys that he's a talented drummer, but nobody would really know who the hell he was.
Right. But I wouldn't know him if he walked into me in the grocery store.
No, I wouldn't either, but the guy has credits out the yin-yang. So
nice.
He must be pretty good, so... This is a pretty good band, so this album has to be good, doesn't it?
Right. Bob Ezrin's producing. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Oh, the one thing we forgot to mention, this is the album that put Alice, after this album was released in the tour, this is the album that put him in the insane asylum.
All right.
Because he was doing too much drinking at the time, and we went overboard. So, saying that, song number one, it's called It's Hot Tonight. It's hot tonight. And I'll start with my little. I gave that song B minus. It's okay. To me, it reminds me of the band Derringer, the sound of it. And I've seen him play this live. You know, it's okay. It's not bad, but it's really dated sounding. Sounds like mid 70s rock and roll.
I gave it a B.
Okay.
And I thought too, the whole album is dated, but you know, I thought we're not rating this album on how it's held up over the years. We're rating it on what we think of it now. So I like this song. I would play this song again.
Yeah, surprisingly, I liked it as well. I mean, even though I gave it a B minus, I'm like, oh, because I think I've seen them. I think they'll pull the song eventually, occasionally live they'll play it. There's three songs in this occasionally they'll pull out and play, but this is one of them.
All right,
so. So pretty close in score so far with us. Second song in the album is Lace and Whiskey. Be as soft as you can, put a drink in my hand. I'm as scared as I ever could be. Give me lace and whiskey, now I'm so ready. Double indemnity, fills me with ecstasy. Lace and whiskey. And I gave it a B. So
wow.
We're off to a good start for me. Surprising. I thought, I mean, because I hadn't listened to this album in almost 40 years. So liked it. It's catchy. I found myself humming it in the damn shower.
Now, you said you haven't listened in how many years?
Probably 40. No, no.
Okay. I thought it sounded like you said 4 years.
40.
40.
And this week I listened to it 5 times. But before that.
Well, I'm not as into this song as you. I gave it a C-.
Okay.
Yeah, it was okay. You know, I won't play it again.
Yeah, you know? I thought the chorus was catchy. I think that's why I gave it a higher. I'm a sucker for a good chorus. So,
yeah,
I was surprised I gave it a B, which is this is the highest rating I'll give any song in this album. So I gave it a B minus and a B for the first two songs, which is pretty strong.
Yeah.
I think it starts to slip pretty soon here for me. Track 3 is called Road Rats. Ain't got no bread to show for it. Road rats, all the cash spent on whites and wine. We're the men behind the band. We're the bank won't bustle plan. 51,000 for 9 stands. If the stars can make it. If the band can shake. And I think he's played this live occasionally as well. I gave it a C+. It was okay. The piano bothered me. It reminded me of, to me, he's kind of trying to sound too much like Elton John from the 70s. When the piano is too far up in the mix, it bugs me. So that's probably why.
Well, I like this song. This is my favorite song on the album. I gave this an A-.
Wow.
I would definitely play this song again. This and It's Hot Tonight are probably the only two I would play from this album again. But this was my favorite song.
Wow, Road. It's not bad, but if they took the piano out for me, I think I would have liked it a little bit better. I can't say I hate it. So first three songs are not too bad, actually.
Yeah, but now I think we're going to jump off a cliff here in a minute.
Oh, song number 4 is called Damned If You Do. I steal a passion. And I hate this song. This is terrible. I will never listen to this song again. I gave it a D+.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The plus was generous.
Yeah, I gave this a D. I gave it nothing about this song did it for me.
Yeah, it's not one of those ones you're going to go back to. I'm going to put this on my phone. No,
no. No, no.
Stupid song.
This is not the album to just put the whole thing on your phone.
Yeah, if the first Alice Cooper album I bought was this one, I would have never became a fan. It's funny because the first Led Zeppelin album I bought was Presence.
Ooh.
And I hated it.
And you're not a big fan of Led Zeppelin?
No, it took me years later to figure out, oh, there's a lot better songs than the other albums. I'm not a huge Monster fan, but I like them a lot more because Presence was pretty weak. Maybe that's one we can go back in time and see in the future. But you're going to pick the next last chance we do whenever we do it.
Yeah.
Now, song number 5 was the only hit off of this album. This song was a huge hit.
Oh, my God.
It was a top 10 song. This is the song he would sing to his snake on stage. He put the big boa constrictor and he'd sing it.
Right.
This song was huge. I don't know if you remember it, but it was a big hit. It's called You and Me.
If I could take you to heaven, that would make my day complete. You and me ain't no movie star. What we are is what we are. We share a bed, some love and TV. Yeah.
It hasn't aged well, but it was still a hit, and I still like the song a little bit. It's a nice message. I gave it a B-.
No, I'm a solid D on this one, too. I hated it. And the problem with me is that it's way, way too long. It's like 5.5 minutes, and could have been a minute and a half, but...
I think the single was probably only 3 minutes long, but this album version is longer for sure.
Yeah, it's not a fan.
No, a D for a top 10 single, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you're not a ballads guy anyway. So.
No, I'm not. It's got to be a really good ballad, you know. Journey knows how to write ballads.
It's funny, Alice Cooper is in his solo career, his first hit was Only Women Bleed, which is a ballad. His second hit as a solo artist was You and Me. And after that, it was How Are You Gonna See Me Now? All ballads.
I'm not a fan of Only Women Bleed either.
Yeah, so.
Not a fan.
Okay. Song number 6 is an interesting one. It's called The King of the Silver Screen. And it's different. It's got a breakdown in the middle of the song of Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. It's different. It's kind of, what is it? It's campy. It's Showtime. Almost like a vaudeville type vibe where he comes out and he's singing about it. He's the king of the silver screen. Kind of reminds me like, oh, this is like Rock Hudson, because towards the end of the song, it goes into he's the queen of the silver screen. So it's kind of like, he's a transvestite or he's a gay man, which is way ahead of its time for 1977. But overall, the song, I gave it a C+. I thought it was average, a little above average for me. I found it humorous, so C+ for me.
Yeah, I think where you found humor, I just thought it was dumb.
Okay.
Because I gave it a D. I'm like, okay, so this guy goes home and he watches movies himself and he pictures himself as the star of the movie.
Yeah.
Okay, and?
And then it becomes the queen at the end.
Yeah, well.
You didn't find that part funny? It just was dumb, huh?
Just, okay, whatever.
All right.
Yeah, so I gave that one a D as well. So I've got 3 Ds in a row.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to get any better, is it? We're going to find out. No, there's only 10 tracks in this album. So track number 7 is the Ubangi Stomp.
Well, a rock in Italy and a rock in Spain. Weeds in the door.
which sounds like a 50s, 2.5 minute rocker. I think it sucks big time. I gave it a D+.
I gave it a solid F. Zero. Zero points.
Zero
points. There is no need for another Chuck Berry type blues anywhere in Alice Cooper's catalog. And this is exactly what it is, and it's terrible.
You make
leave stump. That stuff to Chuck Berry and the other guys that do the 12-bar blues. You know, Alice Cooper is known for the weird chords and time signatures and all that stuff. But to have just a straight-ahead boogie-woogie blues, no.
And remember, the Amazon users gave this 4.6 out of 5 stars. They raved about how great this album, how diverse it shows. It shows Alice's talents.
Nope.
No, you got to have the songs, buddy. And this.
Yeah, this one's terrible.
Yeah, I hate it too. But I still gave it a higher score than you did. Now, now the next song. I think we're going to agree with this. This song is called, it's number 8, No More Love at Your Convenience. This is a straight disco song, but it features where the female vocalists dominate this song. I absolutely hate this song. I gave it an F.
Wow.
No, don't tell me you like this song.
Well, okay. No, actually, I gave it a complete F0 also.
Hey, we agree. When I heard this, I was like, what the hell is that? It's awful.
Yeah.
It could be the worst song in his catalog right there.
Like, what happened in this album? The first 3 songs, 2 of them were pretty good.
I think it was the alcohol. Remember, he was starting to spiral big time.
Yeah,
I think he got lost. I don't know what the hell happened here. I mean, it's basically Bob Ezrin, Alice Cooper, and Dick Wagner writing all these tunes, and they've got a past, and they had some good tunes in the past, but this song sucks.
Yeah.
This is awful. All right. We got 2 more songs for you here. Number 9, I Never Wrote Those Songs.
I've been living my own shell so long. The only place I ever feel at home. You know that music?
Very mellow, very slow. I gave it a generous C.
Wow, okay.
And I don't love it. It's a song I'll probably never listen to again, but I gave it a C. It was better than the last song, but maybe that's
right. Well,
wasn't great.
Yeah, as you said earlier, I'm not a big fan of the slow songs, the ballads, stuff like that. I gave this a D-, 0.7.
But it's still better than that disco song.
Well, yeah. It's better than you bangy stomp and love at your convenience.
Yeah.
But, you know, just barely.
Yeah. So, yeah, the album, this is when the albums came out. So, side 2 sucks. It starts with the King of the Silver Screen, you bangy stomp, love at your convenience, and I wrote those songs. That's side 2. So, side 1 was a lot better than side 2. It's like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah.
Getting to the last song. Here we go. Number 10. It's called My God. Oh my God! It's like ooh, but I think I was too generous with this too. I gave it a C-. I thought there was a couple of parts of the song that were decent. It's a slow song, but
I could see where you get some of the decent part. I gave it a D.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've
so it's almost the second best song on side 2 for me.
Well, that and King of the Silver Screen both got a D for me, and those are the two highest scores.
Yeah, those are the same two as the highest scores. Actually, no, my highest score was I never wrote those songs, which, thinking about it now, I'd probably score that even lower. So maybe I was in a good mood when I scored these.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So, after listening to the other two, you're like, oh, my God, something I can at least latch on to.
And I don't own this. I had to go find a cheap download for this, and yeah, I may just delete this.
Yeah, get your money back.
Ooh, yeah, I think I spent $1.50 for this whole album from Chinese site.
Oof. If I add everything up and average it out, it averages a 1.3, which is a D plus.
Wow, yep. My average came out to a 1.93. So
wow.
I'm the person who hated the album. I actually liked the album better than you did.
Yeah.
It's still,
and
still terrible.
Just think, if Road Rats wasn't, or It's Hot Tonight weren't on there, this album would be way, I don't know that it would have gotten up into a one.
For the person who brought it in, which was me, you scored it lower than I did.
Yeah.
I actually scored it higher than I thought I would. But still,
yeah, almost a C. That's crazy.
Yeah. I gave 3 Bs. That's why. It's Hot Tonight, Lace and Whiskey, and You and Me. And everything else was C or below.
So. Yeah. See, I gave those two, It's Hot Tonight and Road Rat, I gave a B and an A-.
Yeah.
But everything else was a D or lower.
Wow. So needless to say for this bit, which is Last Chance, this album is no chance for Danny and I. And no, we're going to delete this from our libraries. Alice Cooper's Lace and Whiskey. Ooh.
Yeah, because I don't want, if I have my song library on shuffle, I don't want one of these coming up.
So for you, only Road Rats is the keeper, right?
Yeah. Well, that and It's Hot Tonight. I would listen to that again.
Yeah, okay.
But those two, that's it.
The rest of it?
Yep.
And
big raspberry.
Now, the fact that we're slamming this album doesn't mean we hate Alice Cooper. In fact, we're both fans of Alice Cooper, and there's a lot of albums we do like. It just happens not to be this one.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. I've seen him in concert like 3 times, and he is fantastic. I've never seen him play any of these songs.
Yeah, but I've seen It's Hot Tonight's the only one I've seen live from this album.
So, you know, in concert when he's playing like Angry Young Man, I think. What is it?
Yeah, there's Angry Young Man.
Yeah.
Or Wicked Young Man from Brutal Planet.
Yeah, that song that's got to be one of my favorite songs, not just of Alice Cooper, but of anybody.
Yeah.
Such a great song, and the way they stage it, so freaking good.
All we can say is don't buy Alice Cooper's Lace and Whiskey. Don't believe the users on. I'm sure we're going to take crap from the hardcore Alice Cooper fans because they're passionate about Alice Cooper and his music. This one does not stack up.
Like, yeah, you got to be at least a little bit objective. I mean, if you're not into Alice Cooper, go get Brutal Planet or Constrictor or any of the ones from the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, and some hardcores think those albums are terrible, but I don't. I don't.
No.
Because, think of it, his first solo album was Welcome to My Nightmare, and that's a classic.
Yeah.
Then he slipped and went Goes to Hell, which I thought was bad. Then he did Lace and Whiskey, which is worse. But then the next one was good, so you just never know.
Yeah. It's all where he is mentally, you know?
Yeah.
And now he's sober, he's doing his thing.
Yeah, now he's fantastic live. His albums are still hit and miss for me. The last one was Detroit Stories, which I like quite a bit. That's a good album. But you never know. I was like, one I like, one I was like, eh.
But his band is always top-notch.
Oh, yeah. Go see them live. Amazing. And on that note, I think we're done for the evening, aren't we?
Done and done.
Yeah.
Oh, I will say my wife is reading the Pat Benatar autobiography.
Nice.
She said it is fascinating. Just the way her record company treated her and Neil, you know, he basically produced her first album, but they wanted a name, but the guy was never there. He had all kinds of personal problems. So when the album came out, he wanted his name as a producer or co-producer. And they said no. So that's why they're not on Chrysalis Records.
Oh, okay. After that. Oh, okay. Cool. I ordered the John Corabi album today. So, not album, the book, Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. So I'm probably going to get that in the next 2 days. So.
Nice. Well, send it to me when you're done.
Okay, I'll try. You know how quickly I read books.
Yeah, I'll read one piece in that time.
Yeah, so. Don't hold your breath. Okay, on that note, I guess we're going to see everybody in a couple weeks. And remind you, check out our playlist again on Spotify. You don't have to pay for it. It's free. It's HRTS really good. Playlist, Spotify. Check out old episodes on all the platforms. There's Apple, Google, Amazon, iHeartRadio, TuneIn. We're everywhere. So
yeah, check out the early episodes when we were young.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because now we're getting up there in age, you know what I'm saying? Yeah,
because a lot of these questions may be the same. We have no idea.
Yeah.
Can't remember.
Dementia is real. Alzheimer's is real.
Yep.
On that note, thanks for listening, everybody, and we will see you in a couple of weeks.
Goodbye.
Beep. Click.